Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. I'm here with my co-host. I'm Corinne Frenari.
Carol Peterson.
And so we've decided after last week's show, we got such a response and we were only able to go through half of our information. But what we realized is how important, we knew it was an important topic, but how people felt it was important in their lives. And they called and they asked questions and the topic was hypertension and what we can do in our homes, in our life, to control hypertension. And it was amazing. The calls we got, the questions were so appropriate because hypertension is a lifestyle disease. We started out by saying that one out of every two adults in the United States has hypertension. And it's a silent killer. So here we are with this disease. And what is it? We started out by saying we are not going to talk about healing hypertension. We're not going to say you can go into your home and heal hypertension. What we're going to say is when you adjust your life in multiple ways that we started to speak about last week, what ends up happening is that we see significant drops in your blood pressure. And that's a pretty dramatic statement. So we didn't even get to a program. And this week, we're going to speak about herbals that can be used, herbals that have been used for centuries for cardiovascular disease in different cultures and different countries that are available here. And Carol's going to go through the pharmaceuticals, and we're going to compare them, the pharmaceuticals and the herbals that are readily available to us, and how we can work with that program within our bodies. Now, I've got lists of herbals and foods that lower hypertension. And these lists that I've got that we're going to be reading from and discussing are all from PubMed. So this is not hidden information.
No.
Honest. I wouldn't lie about that. So they're readily available. They're readily available from multiple medical journals throughout the world that have been checked and what do you call it? That have been scrutinized and then allowed to then be published in journals. There's also information from the NIH. So we're going to be bringing that up as we go throughout the day. Carol, you want to start?
Sure, but let's give the number out because we want people to join us.
Yeah,
212-209-2877. Give us a call and join the conversation.
That was fun last week when people joined the conversation.
Yeah,
212-209-2877. And let's talk about your concerns. Also.
Okay. I am going to start with diuretics. So this type of drugs like hydroxychlorothiazide, chlorothiazide, Lasix, furosemide, these are some of the names of these drugs. And they pretty much work on the principle you have too much fluid in your bloodstream, so they're going to shrink it. so that's what's causing your hypertension. I don't know if that's really a sound theory, but that's what they do.
And for long term.
Yeah, my mom took hydrochlorothiazide for decades, and I couldn't convince her. She probably would be just fine without it. I'd like to interject here. So how do you know after you go on a blood pressure medicine, your conventional doctor says you're going to be on this for the rest of your life? How do you know that? How do you know you haven't improved things unless you have a drug holiday sometime and see if your blood pressure is fine without them? I just don't understand that. Sherry Rogers said something, the idea that you have to constantly take blood pressure medications is not sound, but that's what we're told. Okay, do we have any herbal things that act as diuretics that you think you might want to add here?
Multiples. One.
Multiple.
One very important one that I've been using for years, and I love it. It has multiple effects, but one of the effects is that it is a diuretic, and that's hibiscus. Hibiscus is a wonderful herb, and it acts as a diuretic, and you can drink it as a tea 2-3 times a day. And I'm not going to go over, or should I go over? It increases NO, nitric oxide. It blocks calcium.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. We'll get to those classes, but yep.
Okay, and then there's another one, hibiscus, and then there's hawthorn berry. Hawthorn berry is very well known. It's a European herb. It's very well known as a mild but very effective antihypertensive. So that's where we'll start. Okay, back to you, Carol.
Okay. Now, we have a big adrenaline story. So we have these drugs called alpha blockers, alpha 2, receptor blockers, beta blockers. I'll give you some names of some of these drugs. The alpha Cardura mini press, just picked out a couple that were pretty popular. Alpha 2 methyl dopa, Aldomet, Catapress, 10X, beta blockers. These all end with Olol, O-L-O-L. Propranolol, Inderol. So if your drug has an Olol, it's a beta blocker. So we have all these blocking things. What might they be blocking? It's blocking adrenaline. So this is a huge problem, and I'm doing a lot of consulting with women with hormone issues, and we think imbalances in estrogen and progesterone are a big, big issue, but I think the adrenaline might even be a big issue. And why adrenaline gets surging is the flight or fright hormone. So it causes constriction of your blood vessels. That's because you're concentrating all your activity on escaping or running away or fighting.
Fight or flight.
Yes. So this adrenaline issue is a little bit complex, and I want to spend a little time on it. One major place where you get adrenaline surges is if your blood sugar drops. And we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about insulin resistance and how your glucose goes high, but your insulin's going up high too. And the high insulin in response to the high glucose will cause a temporary shift down to a very low glucose. And at that point, your brain is screaming for glucose and adrenaline to the rescue. Okay, so this is okay for a temporary fix, but now we have some problems. and it's out of balance. And the hormones that balance adrenaline are probably pregnenolone, progesterone for sure, hydrocortisone for sure. And this balance might be off. You might not have enough of those hormones. And that's where we would talk about the hormone picture. But then there's still another piece. And then there are, we estimate about 40% of the population doesn't methylate well. And methylation is the primary detoxification of adrenaline to get rid of this stuff, to get rid of the anxiety, palpitations, panic, and then your blood vessels are all constricted. So if you took your blood pressure under these circumstances, you're going to have high blood pressure. So you have these options for controlling this with these hormones, giving you some balance. But then there's also the picture of if you're not a good methylator, you can tell from a homocysteine level in a normal blood draw. You can also do genetic testing, and there are several SNPs that will indicate whether you're a good methylator. And by methylator, I mean adding just one more carbon group to that molecule, and then your body's easily getting rid of it. So now, we have 45, a fair amount who can't do it, can't do
45% of the people have this SNP that makes you, it weakens you as a methylator. Now, there are three, or are there four, Carol, SNPs for methylation? If you have 45% of the people have one missing, but the more missing you have, the less ability to methylate and then utilize specific nutrients in your body. So that might be a good test to take, and it's readily available.
Yeah. Especially if you just have a homocysteine. I was just at a conference and there's a panel discussion, and the panel was arguing whether homocysteine was a good marker or the genetic testing was needed. And there's other SNPs too. We talk about MTFHR and are some of those SNPs that Corinne probably was just referring to. But COMT is another whole batch of them. Catecholamine O-methyltransferase. Aren't you impressed I can say that? But that has a good deal to do with methylating your adrenaline too. So do you have methylation, natural methylators that you would like to?
No, I didn't really see natural methylators, but I saw adrenal inhibitors, and one of the most, and an ACE inhibitor, one of the most documented one is Rolwalfa, now Serpentina, Rolwalfa, Serpentina, and it was documented and written about by a German botanist that was studying herbs in India in 1600. It was written about in the Medicopoeia or the Pharmacopoeia of India 1,000 years ago. It was an herb that was used for the heart. And it was the first drug, extracts of Rolwalfa Serpentina, was the first hypertensive drug on the market in 1931. And it was Risperine. And that is still available today and still used. It also was used for anxiety and depression. So it had that combination effect of calming people down as well as supporting them and lowering their blood pressure and protecting their heart. It was given in Hindu medicine for insomnia, for insanity. and many other diseases and complaints, intestinal complaints. But we have to remember that the first hypertensive drug that was discovered was an extract of a 1,000-year-old herbal. But when you're using the herbal, you're getting multiple effects. You're getting antioxidants, you're getting alkaloids, you're getting everything that comes with a complete herb. When you're using the reserpine, we're getting an extract, a concentrated higher dose extract, which will not have the same effect, although it does have a quite good effect. You've got to keep it at low doses. Carol?
Okay, now I have ACE inhibitors, angiotensin converting enzyme. And that has to do with your kidneys. And a really, really interesting thing about ACE inhibitors, when my husband was in the hospital at one point for congestive heart failure, and he had atrial fib in spite of everything we were trying to do for him, they put him on an ACE inhibitor. He already had low blood pressure. Now he was falling on the floor. So I looked up why they were doing this. It was because it's in a protocol for treating AFib patients to use this ACE inhibitor. And the funny thing was I found out that there was a study that pomegranate juice, 35 milliliters of pomegranate juice, did exactly the same thing. So I switched him out when I got him home and started feeding him a little pomegranate juice. Isn't that amazing?
It is, but that, you know what else is another well-documented studies in humans and in rats, ACE inhibitor, garlic. Garlic is a very powerful ACE inhibitor. And also andrographics. Now, andrographics is an herb that they use a lot in Chinese medicine for balancing the immune system. And so it's not that it's not available to us. These herbals are totally available to us and have very specific benefits with hypertension that can be looked up. And that might be end up your job, to take your own health, take charge of your own health, look up what you need. I mean, I was able to do it. It's not that difficult. And start incorporating that into your life and your lifestyle, as well as dietary. You know, they used to say that 10,000 steps was necessary to bring down blood pressure. Now they're saying 7,000. And it doesn't matter how fast or slow those steps are. So it's a combination. It's not one thing or another. It's the motion and the herbs and the diet. When we continue to go through these herbs, what we'll see is that many of them balance blood sugar. So they're balancing blood sugar and working as a diuretic also. When you do that, you have exactly what Carol was saying. Carol was saying that blood sugar surges aggravate.
And drops, yeah.
And drops, surges and drops, aggravate hypertension. And so what we find is that these herbs can act on many levels simultaneously while you're taking one herb. Go on, Carol.
Well, I forgot to mention the drugs that are in this category, the ACE inhibitors. They all end with pril, P-R-I-L, for consistency's sake. Captopril, lisinopril, quinapril. So if your drug name ends in those letters, you know it's in that category. So now we have angiotensin 2 blockers, which work and angiotensin 1 receptors, heart, blood vessels, kidneys. Some of these drugs like COSAR and Diovan are in here. I don't know if you have some specifics on this type.
That one I have to look up.
Okay. Well, let's go on to a more popular category. Calcium channel blockers.
Oh, there are many that work.
Okay. Yep. So Norvase, Verapamil, Diltiazem are a few. They stop calcium from entering the cell. Guess what stops calcium from entering the cell? Excessively, anyway. Magnesium, 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 magnesium. And exactly. What happens when you stop the calcium from entering the cell, the heart beats less strongly and then indirectly lowers the blood pressure. Isn't that weird?
It's actually quite wonderful. And you support that with potassium and you have a real powerful mineral balance in terms of your ability to balance your blood pressure. And we went over potassium quite extensively last week when we discussed the fact that potassium increases nitric oxide, which acts as a vasodilator. And there are many foods that you can eat that will bring up your magnesium and bring up your potassium. And you think of, oh, well, bananas. Well, yeah, the bananas are okay, but avocados are superior. And beans can be very beneficial in magnesium as well as potassium. So you can balance yourself. Cucumbers are very high in potassium. Wonderful for you. You can balance yourself with foods as well as herbals. So did we discuss the herbals that are calcium channel blockers? One?
No.
Okay, let me go away. Andrographics.
Again.
One of them. Again. Apium graveolens. That's a calcium channel blocker. There's tons of them here. Just about everyone. Hibiscus. Again, calcium channel blocker. Hawthorn berry. Again, a calcium channel blocker. Studies in both humans and rats show its effectiveness. And so that's a good start to look at it and understand that through food and through herbals, you can have a very effective calcium channel blocker approach to hypertension.
Okay, I'm really excited about this part.
Okay.
You sort of referred to it before, vasodilators.
Oh, yes.
And guess what drug that is? Viagra.
Well, no wonder you're excited about it. A lot of people are.
Exactly. So this is really interesting. Your body has natural vasodilators. Corinne, you already talked about NO, nitric oxide, relaxes all the smooth muscle in all your blood vessels, even the tiniest ones. And we can't really measure it too well, its existence, but you certainly could measure if you're getting effect of it by monitoring your blood pressure. But this one blew me away. Carbon dioxide.
Oh, and I go,
interesting. So it's also a strong vasodilator. And I've been doing hormone coaching, and I often look at the blood chemistry, and I find in general CO2 is low for people. And I've been saying, okay, you need to breathe deeper, like yoga breathing, or there's this Buteyko breathing. Buteyko breathing is that you fully exhale and you hold on the exhale as long as you can. While you're doing that, your carbon dioxide goes up in the blood, and then when it's high enough, your oxygen comes off the carrier protein hemoglobin and gets into your tissues. So when I'm looking at a low CO2, I'm thinking not enough oxygen to the tissues, right? And you can correct that with how you breathe. But so, here we go. Vasodilator just blew me away.
Now, yes. Well, we see that when people are having an asthma attack. What do? They get a paper bag and they breathe in and out, inhale, exhale, because they're increasing their carbon dioxide. And the end result is that the capillaries in the lungs then widen to allow more oxygen in. It's the trigger. Carbon dioxide is the trigger to signal for more oxygen, and can be very, very effective. It's a trigger also to vasodilate. But there are herbs that can work to increase.
Herbs.
Yeah, not carbon dioxide, but nitric oxide.
Well, let's give out the phone number. We haven't had anybody call in yet.
Not yet.
Where is everybody?
Hello.
212-209-2877. Where are you?
What is your program? We'd love to hear what your program is and how's it working for you? And what do you think about changing your life, your lifestyle, so that you can deal with your hypertension? You don't want to get on a drug and that's it forever. Forever. You're on it. There's no attempt in a standard medical visit to deal with the cause. It's elevated. Here's the pill. Lose some weight. Goodbye. Now, weight loss does work. Even in slim people, if you lose 5 pounds, your blood pressure goes down. But at the same time, it's not the only answer. And so there are herbs and foods. One of the big foods to increase nitric oxide are beets. Beets are powerful. They're powerhouses. When you take a beet juice, beet and cabbage juice drink and drink it down rapidly, you go, whoa, that is really powerful, because you so rapidly vasodilated that you start to get lightheaded. So you have to drink that drink a little slowly, and you put a little garlic in and a little ginger. Ay, ay, ay. You better be sitting down if you're going to drink fast. You want to drink that, because it's powerful and healthy, but you want to drink it slowly. But there are herbs that also activate. Crataegus is an herb that activates NO, and it's a herb that's readily available. Coptis sinensis is another herb that's also readily available. And Camphogon citrus is another herb. Now, that sounds pretty complicated, and it is to say it, but they're available in hypertensive formulas. Another one is salvia, and that increases NO. Pranax ginseng also increases NO. And then we've got hibiscus, again, one of our favorite. And we also have hawthorn berry, which works to increase NO. So we've got quite a variety of herbs, but as well as that, foods. So you put those two together. Another that is very powerful is arugula. Arugula is tremendous for increasing nitric oxide. And guess what, Carol?
We have a caller.
Hey, yes. Hi. Hi, you're live.
You?
Your name, please?
Ethel, how are you?
Hi,
oh,
Ethel.
We're terrific.
I'm calling from the Bronx. I always listen to your show and call in.
Thank you.
I mean, you're ladies, the way you speak to me, you know, and talk, you're really in sync with each other. That's what makes this show so good. I love
it.
Oh,
we got chemistry. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes. You know, I was listening. It's so funny. You were talking about pomegranate juice. And I picked up, I know it's good that you have, it's better when you do it yourself. But I picked up a bottle of the palm to drink. It was like something was telling me, oh, just get that bottle. And the other thing I was wondering about ginger, I don't know if you all ever talk about ginger, because that's an anti-inflammatory also. So you could put that in the juice too, I think.
It's fabulous. Ginger is fabulous in terms of anti-inflammatory, healing the intestines and the stomach, increasing circulation. When you take a cup of ginger tea, what do you feel? You feel warmth in your stomach all the way down to your feet. It's a wonderful tea to have in the winter. Absolutely wonderful. And in the summer, you put some ice cubes in it. It's absolutely delicious and very good for you. And what do you think of palm, Carol?
Well, that's the pomegranate juice, 35 milliliter dose. I actually had somebody tell me they drank a whole, like, 8, 12 ounces of it, and then they didn't feel so great. I think they induced maybe too much dropping of their blood pressure. It's a possibility. So they don't say to use a lot. It's just 35 milliliters. So a bottle of palm can last you a while.
Is it similar to a beet? Like a beet juice?
No, palm is pomegranate. Straight
juice.
Pomegranate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they do have beet juice in the health food stores. And it's quite delicious. And it's just plain beet juice.
Yeah, that would be the nitric oxide producer.
Exactly.
Or arugula is another good source.
Oh my gosh. So, what is your exact website, the two of you? Because I was trying to do it. I put in the same title as your show, but for some reason I couldn't get it. You know, you got other things.
Yeah, our websites are different. Mine is the wellnessbydesignproject.com and Corinne?
It's Corinne Health. CorinneHealth.com.
Now,
so
how do I spell your name? Is it two R's or two N's?
Two R's and one N.
Okay, Corinne.
So it's easy.
Health.
Corinne Health, and I just placed an. Carol puts out articles regularly. I just put an article out that I think you'd be quite interested in relationship to cardiovascular health. So you might want to look on the website. There's quite a bit of information on both websites. Plus,
you all are really good. I'm telling you. I tell other people, I say, listen to their show, or you can go to their website, because you really give a lot of good information.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
It's our passion. And you can go on the WBAI website, archives all the shows, too.
Okay.
But we would also really love you to become one of the BAI buddies or sustaining members. It really helps BAI and allows BAI to maintain and to have shows like ours on, because, you know, we're not selling anything. We don't have sponsors. Our sponsors are you. So we have mm-hmm. another call. Let me give you the number that you can. Let me give you the number that you could call to become a sustaining number. And you'll end up with, at $10 a month, you'll end up with a tote bag, which is really wonderful to carry around because then you're identified as part of the community. People literally stop you or they give you a thumbs up as you're walking by when you're carrying the tote bag. It's lovely. The number to call for to become a sustaining member is 212-209-2950. We'd really appreciate that. So thank you for your call and hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're live. Hi. And your name, please?
My name is Geraldine.
Hi, Geraldine.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I listen to your show. I love both of you together. I try not to miss it. Sometimes I do. Since you're talking about nitric oxide, sorry to call you while you're on ear, but I've ordered 4 nitric oxides and I still have not gotten it, and I don't know what else to do. I mailed to WBAI. I emailed. I even came down to the facility, but I've been told over and over. So if there's anything you can do to get the 4 nitric oxides that I ordered when you made a
had a talk about that, especially around hormones.
It was a pledge, and I still have not gotten them. So if there's anything you can do.
Can you text your name and address and what the date you ordered and what you're missing, and we will see what we can do to get it to you, either to me and or to Carol. And we'll see what we can do. I'm sorry that you're having this problem.
What number can
you do you want to give her
a wonderful product?
The number can
the numbers on mine or Carol's website.
Oh, that's okay. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And Carol's website is, what is Carol's website?
The Wellness by Design Project.
Okay, the Wellness by Design. Okay. All right. I will.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Geraldine. Thanks very much.
We'll see what we can do.
I want to go back to vasodilators.
Okay.
If I have some more material there. Alcohol is a great vasodilator.
But also... Overall, high amounts of alcohol can be a very direct cause of hypertension. But yep. Carol, guess what? We got another caller.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Hi. You're live?
Good afternoon.
And your name, please?
Ronald.
Hi, Ronald.
Hi, Ronald.
First of all, I'm just curious to ask you, whose child is it who does the very, very charming... opening of the program.
Oh, do you know, I wanted to say, every time I hear that, it makes me smile. That's my son 10 years ago. So now he's got this deep voice and he's tall and but that was 10, 11 years ago. And he came in the room when I was recording and he said, "Can I be on the radio too?"
Are you the holistic doctor or the pharmacist?
I'm the holistic physician assistant and clinical nutritionist.
Okay. The other thing I just want to mention is that I understand that meditation is very beneficial to lowering blood pressure.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that very much.
And I bet it has something to do with that carbon dioxide stuff. That when you do go into meditation, what happens automatically? Your respiration rate goes down. You breathe deeper. So it's really a good practice. Do you meditate?
Yes. Not every day, but as often as I'm able to get it in. Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. And
thank you very much.
And how's your blood pressure?
better than it used to be, much better than it used to be.
All right, cool. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for your call. So, Carol, you were saying?
Oh, well, vasodilator is exercise. You talked about that before. That's the mechanism. Your blood vessels dilate while you're doing exercises. This one surprised me. Inflammation.
Oh.
So actually, if you have an injury that your body needs to get those kind of inflammatory proteins to an area, it will actually dilate your blood vessels. And here's when we can talk about temperature. And so have you noticed, like if you're going to a gym and they have a sauna, they'll warn you to avoid the sauna if you have hypertension, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why are they warning you? It's not because it's raising your blood pressure further. They're warning you because you could have a very effective and quick drop in your blood pressure, and you could get dizzy and fall down or something and sue the gym or all those consequences. But raising your temperature, maybe doing some sauna at home if you have a portable sauna, or getting your body warmer, whether it's in a hot shower, hot bath, can also, and that's another warning they have, be careful of that with hypertension. Why is that? It's because it's lowering your blood pressure.
So inflammation acts on in two ways. In one way, if it's immediate, like if there's an injury, you would have a vasodilation, but if it's chronic, you would have a vasoconstriction. And so just like everything, inflammation is a double-edged sword. It can be positive and absolutely healing, or it can, in chronicity, can create a problem and an inability to heal. So there is, I've got a chart in front of me that I got off of PubMed, and it talks about herbs and plants and hypertension and what different ones that they can do. They can normalize adrenal roots and endothelial pathways by enhancing vasodilation and decreasing vasoconstriction. They can elevate dilatory prostaglandins and the receptors, again, by enhancing vasodilation and decreasing vasoconstriction. And they can increase H2S production, and that's a sulfate conjugate, which works in the pathway of homocysteine. So they can increase and support the breakdown of homocysteine, again, through the pathway of enhancing vasodilation and decreasing vasoconstriction. They also decrease inflammatory markers, and they also increase ROS scavengers. So they're trying to clean up oxidative stress. They increase NO bioavailability and increase cellular antioxidants. And they inhibit ACE inhibitors and decrease angiotensin constrictors through the kidney. So we have multiple callers, so we're going to go quickly while we have the time. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. We're getting close on time. Hi, you're live. How can we help you?
Hi, Corinne and Carol.
Yes.
Hi, it's Russell up in White Plains.
Hi, Russell.
Hi, Russell.
Hi. You really grabbed my attention with the tantalizing reference to Viagra, and I thought you were going to describe better sexual living through alternative chemistry. But all I heard was sort of self-stimulation through breathing into a brown paper bag.
alcohol is certainly
terrible, so I'm kind of getting a contradictory reference. But, you know, luckily I've never experimented with Viagra because I'm so fortunate I have a partner who's endlessly stimulating herself. But What I'd really like to hear, you know, on C-SPAN this weekend, there was a show about the science of menstruation. And what I took away, you know, in a sexist, patriarchal way, was that during the reproductive life of women, many brain cells are devoted to reproductive activity. But postmenopausal women's brains actually enlarge with neurons and, you know, for lack of a less patriarchal term, become more normal or more like everyone else. Have you heard anything about this? And I'll listen on the air. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
Russell. Thank you for your call. I'm going to say one thing that's not an answer to your question, but something that's written here, that the penis is a dipstick for cardiovascular health.
Oh, that's that, right. Erectile dysfunction is
exactly
the sign of it. Exactly. So,
and nitric oxide is what they're using, what is used in Viagra to create and increase circulation. But Carol, can you answer the question more directly?
No, about the brain. That's very interesting. I have not heard that one way or the other. So I'll have to look for the show.
Yeah,
very interesting.
We'll have to get back to you on that one. So, hello, you're live.
Hi.
Hi, can you speak up just a little?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Perfect.
Oh, perfect.
How good are those blood pressure machines that you get in like these stores like CVS or whatever?
It's variable. Go on.
Yeah, they can be quite good, but it's recommended that when you buy one, you check it against, like, your doctor's office has one. Take it with you. Check it against.
A mercury one.
And make sure, ideally a mercury one, but they're just not available anymore. And make sure that it's consistent with what your doctor's office is using. I find them pretty good, and my doctor's office uses like an upscaled model of a brand that I have at home. So you look for consistency in your readings, that you're not wildly all over the place. I would like to spend a couple minutes still on the value of having a blood pressure cuff. You can see your blood pressure. You can see your pulse rate. Your pulse rate should be in your 80s. Otherwise, look for low thyroid signs. If your diastolic is below 60, too much adrenaline. Here we go again with the adrenaline. We're trying to escape from adrenaline using all these drugs. So it's a marker. It's something you could watch.
Carol?
Okay. Yes?
We're going to go to the next caller.
Hello?
Hi. You're live. Your name, please. Hello?
Yes, hello.
You speak up, please?
Yes. My name is Samuel Jackson. I live in Manhattan.
Hi, Samuel.
Hi. And I've been waiting for quite a while. You two beautiful ladies started talking about women's problems. And what I mean by that, my friend, she has a urination problem. When she sneezes, she has to urinate. When she coughs, she has to urinate. And she does that maybe two or three times a day. And I would hang up and see what you have to say about it.
Now, that really is stressful for women. It's very, very difficult. We had a whole show on, but that was quite a few years ago, on urination, incontinence. And, Carol, that might be worthwhile talking about again, because go on.
Yeah. That's really a favorite subject of mine, and I always ask when I'm talking to women, because we make jokes about this. Nothing funny about it at all, and it indicates low testosterone. The bladder, urinary tract, and the opening to the vagina all have tons of receptors for testosterone. So you're actually getting weakening of the organs. Testosterone is a hormone that builds up your tissues. And you can use a little bit of testosterone and stop it. And if you let that go, the end point is in a nursing home, breaking your leg from a drug and dying. It's a big, big reason why people are in nursing homes.
Exactly, so, because they're incontinent, and it's very difficult for people to care for them when they're incontinent.
Take care of it right away. So we've
got one more caller, and this is a quick question and a quick answer because we have just a couple minutes left from this show. So, hello?
Oh, hi. Yes, hi. I think you can tell by the volume of calls how important a medical show on BAI is. And I think we could use another one or two instead of just one a week. And I notice a lot of the recommendations that you've been making are similar to things that Dr. Majid Ali used to recommend.
Well, he's wonderful. And,
what?
He's wonderful.
Yes, they've been playing some of his old shows recently as fundraisers. And I wondered, I guess you're in contact with him. Any chance that he'd come back to BAI? Is he interested? Can something be worked out there? He was so informative.
Yeah, I'm really not in charge of that. That would be something that you would talk to the program director about. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know right now, but it would be wonderful to have him back.
Oh, we can pass on your comments, absolutely.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you so much for calling. We have a good 2.5-3 minutes left, Carol. And what we want to say is that this is not an attempt to treat or diagnose, but this is an attempt to allow you the information that starts you on the journey of taking charge of your health. Both Carol and I have very active websites with information, and mine is corinnehealth.com. I always want to say at Gmail, but it's Corinne, C-O-R-I-N-N-E, health.com. And Carol's is?
The Wellness by Design Project.com.
And you're going to be quite pleased when you go on those websites and see the information available. Be ready to spend some time because there's some great lectures, talks, articles, blogs, all of the above that are available for free.
And radio shows.
And radio, all the radio shows up there. We archive our radio shows there. So, Carol, anything you want to say? You've got a couple minutes.
Well, high blood pressure is not a lifetime sentence.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. So start working with somebody who can help coach you through this process. There are so many modalities you can use, and drugs are not the only answer. Consider drug holidays. If you have made significant changes in your level of stress, remember the adrenaline, adrenaline, adrenaline. What if you had children that were making you crazy and they're finally all out of the house and everything's calm?
your blood pressure might go down.
you might not need that blood pressure pill anymore, but you've been told you needed it for the rest of your life. So that's a significant player. I want to emphasize magnesium, magnesium, magnesium too.
Exactly. And look up herbs that might benefit you also, but also diet. And exercise and sleep, all of the above, can change your whole life. And when you're not on these drugs, you'll feel so much better. You'll also feel so empowered. It's a powerful state to be in to get yourself out of a situation that demands a lifetime of medications. And to get your partner out of it also. So I want to say thank you so much for listening to us. Please call and become a sustaining partner. As you hear, our listeners are regulars. They listen to us. They wait for us. And please become a partner. Please become a buddy. The number to call is 212-209-2950. We'll be back next week. Thank you for your calls. Bye.